Welcome to a very special episode of the Click Nations Comic Book Chronicles. This is your host, Tim Dog. I'm going solo tonight, mainly because for the week of October 7th, 2015, with it being such an enormously large new comic book day with probably 20 plus comics I wanted to read, I didn't have enough time to write any reviews except for one on my website, theclicknation.com. So I figured, why not just jump online, do an audio podcast, and just get my thoughts out there for everyone to digest in audio form. For housekeeping items, make sure to go to theclicknation.com. You can find previous episodes of the Comic Book Chronicles and comic book reviews. Follow the Twitter account at TheClickNation and at CBCron. Like the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheClickNation. Add us to your circles on Google+. Search for the TheClickNation page at google.com/+TheClickNation. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and youtube.com/TheClickNation. Make sure to use the hashtag Comic Book Chronicles and CBCron on your favorite social media websites. And also make sure to check out the other hosts of the Comic Book Chronicles online. Dirt is at PCN_Dirt on Twitter, and go to his website, popculturenetwork.com. Roddy Cat is at Roddy Cat and at News Nerds Need on Twitter. And Agent 70 is at Agent_70. And also make sure to go to the Cold Slither Podcast Network website. We are a member of the CSPN. The website is cspn.us. And make sure to click the banner to keep our podcast free link. And also go check out the Redbubble site where you can buy Comic Book Chronicles merchandise. So with all that out the way, this is basically how the rundown of the show is going to go. I'm going to start with Image Comics, then move on to DC Comics, and then end with Marvel Comics. So I only read two Image Comics for the week, and those were Paper Girls number 1 from Brian K. Vaughan and Cliff Chang, and Plutona number 2 from Jeff Lemire and Emmy. Make sure I get the last name right. Oh, it's taking so long to come up. Emmy Linnitz. So, I'll start with Plutona. So, Plutona is the story of a group of teenagers who, some of them are friends, some of them don't get along too well with each other. And they, as they're out in the woods at night, they come across the corpse of one of the city's premier superhero, Plutona. And issue 2 basically deals with them trying to figure out what to do after making this discovery. They're debating whether or not to tell authorities, tell their parents, take pictures of her dead body and post it online. So it's a big character piece of the kids fighting amongst themselves and trying to work out exactly what they're going to do. What they do decide to do is to reconvene for the night because it's getting late and they have curfew to get back home before they break it. So they're going to go to school the next day and then meet up after school, and at least what they think, they're going to bury her body. But one of the kids, who I forget his real name, but the bully of the group calls him Tugger. That kid decides that he's going to sneak out in the middle of the night. And as far as we know, at least when the comic ends, he's holding a knife in his hand. And is he going to cut open Plutona's body, or does he have something else planned? My first guess would be that he's not going to do anything to damage her body because he is a fan of superheroes and he kind of goes around tracking their whereabouts online using news footage and whatnot to basically map them out. So it's so far so good. It's been a pretty fun series. I'm a fan of Jeff Lemire's work and Emmy Lennox. I'm not too familiar with, but I like her art. Her penciling and art is very, it's not over complicated. It's very basic, but in a good way. You can really follow the action in her panel layouts. So, so far I'm pleased with Plutona number 2. And Paper Girls number 1 is the other book I read from Image Comics. Again, it stars a group of kids, except this time it's set back in the past, back in 1988, I believe. And as the title suggests, all 4 of the girls are paper girls for their local town. And they end up, the issue starts off with one girl, and then she runs into the group of 3 others, and then she kind of joins forces with them. One of the girls gets jumped by some strangers, so they have to go off and try to get revenge on them and get her walkie-talkies back. And then this ends up having them in a basement of a building, and where they discover this device that looks like something out of NASA that's sent up into space. So a lot of mystery going around in this book. I love Cliff Chang's art. He comes from his stint on Wonder Woman with Brian Azzarello. I know during my notes I've made a point of jotting down how the colors by Matt Wilson are kind of great here, because the majority of the book takes place at night, but with they make good use of the colors by, like, Sam reflecting light from a flashlight or the stars in the sky. There's a couple of scenes where after they do some type of activation on the device they find down in the basement, the sky lights up in sort of like a cosmic purplish pinkish haze, which was nice to see. So again, this is another book. I haven't read too much of Brian K. Vaughan's work, sorry to admit. I'm behind on Saga, so I'd like to go back from the beginning and start it there, but with so many books out each week, it's a hard task to try to go back and start something from the beginning. But I know everyone raves about his work, so I'm sure if I did read Saga, I'd enjoy it. But Paper Girls so far I like, and then a month or so ago, he also launched We Stand on Guard, which has been a fun romp as well. So I'm trying to get on the Brian K. Vaughan bandwagon. So that does it for the Image books this week. For DC, for the week of October 7th, 2015, I'm going to start off with Action Comics number 45. Action Comics is co-written by Greg Pak and Aaron Cooter. And this issue has guest art by Scott Collins. So Clark is still on the run from Wrath, and he's trying to keep a low profile because in the previous arc, he's gotten his close friends hurt because of their involvement with him and his secret identity becoming known to the public. So he's kind of gone underground. He's got he's created a sort of a bunker for himself out in the woods where... That's another thing. I guess being a member of the Justice League has its advantages, because Clark's got all these, you know, TVs and monitors set up and wires running everywhere. Newspaper. He also goes old school by having newspapers set up, and he's basically trying to figure out. He's trying to figure out what Rat's next move is, along with other villains or enemies that have been popping up in his life. And he's trying to, instead of playing defense, get on the offensive and see what's going on. Let's see, the toy, I believe his name's Toy Master, shows up. Somehow he's able to track where Clark is, which Clark doesn't like because he's trying to stay off the radar. So he ends up burning his new hideout and having to start it back over. But I never thought I'd be a fan of Superman books because I was never a fan of his growing up. But what Greg Pak has been able to do on this, along with Aaron Cooter, has added this to my pull list each month. And also Greg Pak's doing a great job on Batman Superman. Cyborg number 3 came out from David F. Walker and Ivan Reis. Hopefully that's how you say his last name. Let's see, this issue picks up the sort of faceless, nameless alien Borg is invading Detroit. So the issue takes place on two fronts. You see the crew at Star Labs trying to stave off the infiltrators, and then on the street with the common people is Cyborg and his buddy from high school that they met back in issue 1. And we learned that the Justice League is busy fighting the same group of aliens all across the world, and communication systems are down, so Cyborg's not able to call for help, except for using some back channel system he set up, and he's able to call the Metal Men and their inventor in for help. So another good issue. At least the action is picking up a little bit more. It would help if it wasn't just some generic villains that Cyborg was fighting. I think it'd help the book feel more personal, because while it is nice to get into the internal monologue of what Cyborg is going through, it still feels like the issues or the comic itself is missing something. So, crossing my fingers that things keep improving as the series goes along. Detective Comics number 45 has a new creative team. And do I have the issue over here to look at? I believe I do. Shoutouts to DC Publicity Group for sending me some physical copies to review. So let's see. The new creative team is Peter J. Tomasi and Marcio Takara. And Peter Tomasi, I believe, is writing... I can't remember if he's the artist on Robin, Son of Batman or not, or if he's the artist. I keep getting those mixed up. I know whoever's doing Robin, Son of Batman is the artist and writer. I think Tomasi was just doing the writing on the previous Batman and Robin volume before it ended. I'm sure someone online will let me know once this episode goes live. But what we have here is the Justice League needs to call on Batman because they need his detective skills for a case they're working on. So they go to Wayne Manor to try to make sure that Bruce actually has lost his memory, and they try to see, is there a way that they can help him get it back. And basically a lot of setup for this issue, and that's basically where it leaves off. I'm going to try to do my best to keep up with Detective Comics. I like Tomasi, I like Takara's work, and be kind of interested to see how James Gordon, at least how they display James Gordon's detective skills on this as it moves forward. Green Arrow 45. I'm a couple issues behind on Green Arrow, but I did flip through issue 45. I can't say too much about it except for Patrick Zerker's art is very nice on it. The issue, I do remember, the issue picks up with Oliver fighting alongside a woman named Tarantula, and it seems like they're investigating some type of, like, mystic skeleton, or some type of mysticism is being used in Seattle. Some group of skeletons, I forget their proper name, but apparently they've attacked Seattle before, and Green Arrow wasn't able to stop them on his own and needed help. So they're back, and then himself and Tarantula go off on a road trip to do some investigation, and things look a lot worse than they originally feared. And let's see, Telos number one, a new series spinning out of Convergence with the same creative team. And I will tell you who that creative team is in a second here. Let's see. Writer Jeff King and pencils from Carlo Pagulayan. I actually wasn't sure I was going to like this issue because I didn't read Convergence. But what I found was a very enjoyable issue. Jeff King did a good job of filling people in through dialogue of what happened during Convergence between Telos and Brainiac, where things stand, Telos's motivation to try to find his family, get his family back, and he ends up wanting to kill Brainiac, but now having to work with him to get his family or see his family again. And of course, I kept thinking throughout, you know, Brainiac says he's helping you, but you obviously can't trust Brainiac. And as it's shown in the final page, that stands to be true. So, not sure if this is a series I'll keep reading unless it's sent to me as a book to review, but I was definitely more impressed with it than I initially would have been. And last is a Vertigo comic imprint of DC called Survivors Club, where it's a group of like six individuals, five or six. They all share something from their past back in the 1980s. They all experienced some huge trauma. And one of the victims, a woman, sort of brings everyone together because she sees things like this threat coming back from their past. It's kind of funny that she finds it online. And I sort of like the using the old narrative of, let's go back to the past, show something from the past. Well, let's tie the main story to something that happened in the past. But they're doing it with a nice twist where everyone, as we find out, seems to have a secret. Some already knew about it, and others kind of play like they don't know what's going on when really they do. That creative team is from writers Lauren Bukes. Bukes and Dale Halverson, and artist is Ryan Kelly. So Vertigo is going to be doing for the next 12 weeks straight, a new number one will launch all the way through the end of the year. It's kind of like the refocusing of the Vertigo brand. I'm hoping things go well with the launch. I checked out the preview issue that they sent out as a free digital download and free copies, I believe, in stores. So there was a good number of the books that had my interest. So looking forward to seeing what they can do through these next 3 months of the year. Marvel Comics is up next. Going to end the show with them. Let's start with Let's start with Secret Wars, since that's still going on, before getting to the all new, all different Marvel books. Let's see. Secret Wars had a lot of developments. You had a time jump of 3 weeks between, I guess, the events of Secret Wars number 5 and Secret Wars number 6. And in that time, there's been sort of like rebellions all across the different domains of Betterworld. Valeria Richards is, assuming that's, or Valeria Storm, which whatever her last name is, she's becoming more skeptical of God Doom as time goes on. She's a smart girl, so of course she can tell something's not right, but she's just young enough where she doesn't really want to find out the answers to these questions she has. We see some of the various members of the two life rafts and where they are located. Let's see, Captain Marvel is in Bar Sinister with Mr. Sinister. Two of Thanos' Black Order are captors of Doom. Let's see, who else? I know, let's see, Namor and Black Panther make their way to Doctor Strange's Sanctum Sanctorum, where they find the, I guess, the key to stopping Doom, which is an Infinity Gauntlet, which gives us the great line by Namor when Black Panther sort of gives him a look like, you know, do you want to wield it? And Namor's like, that, we all know that's not, that wouldn't be a good idea. So we get a kick-ass image of Black Panther pulling out and wearing the Infinity Gauntlet. So maybe we'll see a throwdown fight between Doom and Black Panther down the line. Going back to when I was mentioning the revolts going on in Battleworld, they're being led by some masked man who, when I first saw him, I couldn't tell who he was or who he was supposed to be, but someone online mentioned that it looked a lot like Maximus of the Inhumans. So, got to see why he would be leading a revolt against Doom. Siege number 4 ties into Secret Wars number 6, because as I was mentioning all the different life raft survivors on different domains, we see that Thanos is at the wall, aka the shield, I'm sorry, where he convinces Benjamin J. Grimm, who is the shield, to basically stand up and take back his life, because he was hoodwinked by Doom into sort of just sitting there and becoming the barrier between the Deadlands and the rest of Battleworld. Let's see, next up, is that the only something? Oh, and Old Man Logan number 5. This is the final issue of this miniseries, just like Siege number 4 was the last issue of that. Old Man Logan has been traveling across Battleworld, looking at all these different locations, and what he finds is he ends up being retrieved by the X-Men of Earth 616 and 1016, or whatever the Ultimate Universe number is called, and there's a lot of sort of trading notes back and forth. Everyone can't believe Logan's alive. Logan can't believe the X-Men that he thought he had killed, or he did kill in his domain, are alive. Then there's a big time jump. I'm not sure if it's the actual time jump, but all of a sudden, at the end of the issue, he finds himself back on the post-Secret World, Secret Wars Earth. And that's where the new number one series and all new, all different Marvel will pick up. Now, to get to all new, all different Marvel, first, let's talk about the Avengers Zero issue. The Zero issue is sort of a wide snapshot of all the Avengers-related titles, all new, all different Avengers.
New Avengers, Uncanny Avengers, The Ultimates, Squadron Supreme, and I hope I'm not forgetting one. But it was a, and it was sort of like through the eyes of the Squadron Supreme, who are kind of the thunderbolts of this scenario, as far as they will do whatever it takes to protect Earth, because they're, the members of Squadron Supreme are all from different dead universes, so they don't want to see another universe die on their watch. So I enjoyed seeing their narrative, and the stories I enjoyed the most happened to all come from writer Al Ewan, and those were New Avengers and The Ultimates. Ultimates had a nice solo story focusing around Miss America Chavez, and New Avengers just seems like it's kind of a goofy, fun book with high stakes. So good Avengers Zero issue. I haven't read through the all new, all different point one issue yet. Invincible Iron Man number one is sort of the flagship book of all new, all different Marvel, from the former Ultimate Spider-Man creative team of Brian Michael Bendis and Dave Marquez. Stylistically, this is a very beautiful book to look at, from Dave Marquez's art. I'm enjoying Bendis's Iron Man. He's kind of taking it through a back to basics approach with them. He's created a new suit of armor. He's got a new AI called Friday, and he takes his first quote unquote mission, takes him to a very familiar land in Marvel Comics, and then the final last page reveal is sort of a surprising thing to see. I don't want to spoil things too much. So yeah, Iron Man, Invincible Iron Man is a fun book. And a couple of issues down the line, we're going to see Mary Jane Watson introduced as a cast member. And then you still have the subplot of who are Tony Stark's real parents. Amazing Spider-Man number one, another fun issue. Dan Slott's been killing it on Amazing Spider-Man since Big Time through Superior Iron Man, the relaunch of Amazing Spider-Man, Spider-Verse, and now here. Peter Parker's gone global with Parker Industries. He's almost like Tony Stark, and he has Spider-Man as his own bodyguard. And art by Giuseppe Camicoli. It looks like his art's even... I've always enjoyed his Spider-Man work, but his art here seems like it's even one step above, thanks to the colors from, I want to say, Marte Gracia. I'll check here in a second. I enjoyed seeing the guest stars of Prowler and Mockingbird. I'll make sure I get the colorist credit right here. Yeah, Gracia. Marte Gracia. There was backup stories with showing sort of quick glimpses at all the various Spider-Man titles, which I never realized there were so many Spider-Man titles until all new, all different Marvel launched. You have Spider-Woman, Spider-Gwen, Silk, Web Warriors, Venom, I guess falls under cosmic titles now. Spider-Man 2099, and I'm sure I'm forgetting one or two, but Spider-Man's got his own family of books now, kind of hard to believe. And there's even a quick callback to Amazing Spider-Man Renew Your Vows Secret Wars book. Doctor Strange number one, I never thought I'd enjoy a comic focusing on mysticism and magic, but Jason Aaron he can basically do no wrong in the comic book world the last 2 years, because I'm loving his Star Wars, which I'll get to later. Nice art by Chris Bacalo. it wasn't too confusing, which Bacalo's arc can sometimes be. And I kind of like the little magic club that Doctor Strange has, where he gets together with the other sorcerers across the Marvel Universe to share notes. It was a nice little intro issue with another backstory that I guess is going to tie into the larger story. Nothing super, there was no like shocking ending or anything like that, but it's cool, like, by the numbers, by the numbers, number one issue. I'm sure the subsequent issues will just pick up the pace and get me even more intrigued. Contest of Champions, very quickly, it was alright. I loved the Paco Medina art. I'm not sure what to think of this series. I do like the, you know, focusing on lesser known hero, at least one of them, the Punisher of a different country. And so this is an ongoing series, so we'll see what Marvel has in store with it. Star Wars number 10. Marvel's been killing it on the Star Wars books, so let me just say that. Again, Jason Aaron here. You have some sort of like, not even bounty hunter, but sort of a shady character, sort of training up Luke in how to use his fight with his lightsaber. So that was fun to watch. Stuart Immonen's art is great. You have Han's little love triangle he's got going on with Leia and Sana. And then Chewbacca and C-3PO rushing to the aid of Luke, which results in some hilarious scenes. Of course, anything with C-3PO is going to get the laughs out of people. And I believe the last two are What If Infinity Inhumans and What If Infinity Thanos. So if you've read one What If or Elseworld book, you've read them all. They take a popular story and sort of do a different spin on it. And all those different spins usually involve a bad guy turning good, or a good guy turning bad, or someone dying, or numerous characters dying. And this is no different. Except that the writer on both of these books is Joshua Williamson, the upcoming writer of the Illuminati book for Marvel, and for Image he does a numerous books, Birthright, Nailbiter, and it's a book I like too. I'm sorry, Josh, can't remember it off the top of my head. It goes like that sometimes. But so even though it's a generic What If story, it is a fun story because Joshua uses he has the voices down for the various like Thanos and Inhumans and Avengers characters. And I like his collaboration with, was it Riley Rossimo and Mike Norden, I believe. Hopefully I got those names right. Let me do a quick double check here. If you're Inhumans, creative team is Riley Rossimo, and What If Thanos is I keep wanting to say the artist is Norden. It's Mike Henderson. I'm sorry. And Henderson is his collaborator on, is Williamson's collaborator on Nailbiter. So that about does it for my Marvel reviews, or actually my Marvel, DC, and Image reviews for October 7th, 2015. Depending on how things go and the feedback I get from this, I might start doing more audio podcast reviews along with some written ones here and there. So make sure to go to the website, theclicknation.com. Make sure to follow me online. I'm at TimDOGG98, and I also run the Twitter accounts at TheClickNation and at CBCron. This is the Comic Book Chronicles, and I am signing out.